Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Amen. If your Bible, go to 2 Peter chapter 1. In this small book of only three chapters in 2 Peter, this is the Apostle Peter's last letter. He even mentions in this letter that he knows that his time is short upon earth, and he writes this letter to the saints who he knows are going to be left behind, knowing they're going to face some difficult days ahead. And in three chapters, he really kind of sums up everything he would like to say as his last words. In chapter one, he talks about the most precious thing you have is your faith, and you must grow in your faith, and we'll talk more about that today. In chapter two, he warns about there's going to be a bunch of false teachers. There already are some out in the land, and you need to be careful, and you need to be watchful that not everybody who claims the name of the Lord is really of the Lord, and so you be careful where you feed and what you believe, and be careful who you're listening to. And in chapter three, it's probably the best exposition that I'm aware of the last days and the new heavens and the new earth. And God talks through Peter in chapter 3 about eternity and why God seems to take so long to bring things to pass, because he exists in eternity, which exists outside of time. And so in those three chapters, all these things are summed up as Peter's like, these are things I've got, a critical message I've got to get across to you before I leave and I'm not able to talk to you anymore. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, I want to emphasize that he mentions there in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says there is, if you can begin reading there with me in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to emphasize this morning faith. Peter, in his opening remarks, emphasizes that to the saints, you have received the same kind of faith that I have and that others have who've done great things for the Lord. We have the same kind of faith that has produced in us the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And so Peter just begins to talk about the importance of people understanding that what you have is precious. What you have is a gift from God. What you have is God has given you faith, and you need to rejoice in what you have and not be focused upon what you don't have. Be thankful for what you have. What you have is priceless. What you have is beautiful, and most people don't realize what they have until they lose it in life. Be thankful for your life and what you have already as a result of God working in your life. Let me tell you a little story. There was a guy who was driving around Oklahoma, and he sees this sign in front of the house. It says, talking dog for sale. So he rings the doorbell, and the owner comes to the door, and the guy says, yeah, I have a talking dog, and he's for sale. Well, can I see the dog? Sure, he's in the backyard. So he goes in the backyard, and he sees this lab there, and he says, can you talk? He says, yep. And he says, so what's your story? The lab looks up and says, well, I discovered I could talk when I was very young. I wanted to work for the government, so I told the CIA about my gift in no time at all. They had me jetting all over the country, from country to country, sitting in rooms with spies and world leaders, because no one figured a dog would be able to eavesdrop. And so I was one of their most valuable spies for about 8 years running. But the jetting around from country to country just got me kind of tired, and I knew I wasn't getting any younger, and I wanted to settle down. So I signed up for a job at the airport to do some undercover work there for security, wandering up to suspicious looking people and just sitting there and listening and then being able to go back and tell what I heard they were saying. And I uncovered some incredible dealings and was given a bunch of medals. And I I finally got married. I had a bunch of puppies. And now I'm just retired. The guy is amazed. Talking dog. He goes back into the owner and he says, this dog is for sale and you only want $10? He said, $10? This dog's amazing. Why on earth are you selling him so cheap? And the guy says, because he's such a liar. He never did any of that stuff. Sometimes we don't know what we have. You need to think about what you have. That's why this morning we began with Thanksgiving. Just thank God for some things that you have. Instead of looking at what you don't have, thank God you have lungs to breathe. You have legs to walk on. I mean, not just to fit, but thank God for what he's done in your life. And thank God that he spared your life. Thank God what he's given you family. Thank God for what he's done in your life. You know, when you start to get depressed, it's usually a sign that you've been unthankful. Because you don't realize what you got. Thank God for my wife that I have. Thank God for the children I've had. Thank God for my grandchildren. Thank God for the home I live in. Thank God for the car I drive. Thank God for the clothes I have. Thank God that the list goes on and on and on. And when you start being thankful, you can't be depressed. And usually when you're depressed, it's a sign that you've just not been very, very thankful. And the Apostle Peter writes to the saints here, because he knows he's about to depart, and they're thinking, oh, we're about to lose our great leader, and what are we going to do, and what are we going to do? And he says, look, guys, first of all, realize that you have the same kind of faith that I have. You have what I have. In fact, you have what the saints of old had. A faith of the same kind as ours. King James calls it a like precious faith. What kind of faith is this? And first of all, we need to understand what faith is. Faith is confidence. It's confidence. It's trust. And of course, our trust and our confidence is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that he's true. We know that his word is true. Where does faith come from? The Bible says that faith comes from God. In fact, the faith that you now have, if you're born again, if you're a believer, the faith you have to become a believer came from God. He gave it to you as a gift. Thank God that you don't have to work up faith and, make yourself have faith. God gives you faith. It's a gift that he gives you. You don't work it up. And as a result of this faith gift that God gives you to be able to believe in him, as the byproduct of that, you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus right now. All your sin is paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's done. It's over with. And you have the same faith as the Apostle Peter. That's what he's trying to say to the saints. You have the same faith. The Bible says that Abraham believed God back in the Old Testament day because he believed God. He had faith in God. It was counted to him as righteousness. God said, okay, you have no sin. You're right with me. Faith brought you into a relationship with God that you would have never had on your own. But God in his mercy and his grace gave you faith. And you have the same faith as the Apostle Peter. You have the same faith that changed Peter. He wasn't always a believer. In fact, he was quite a doubter at first. But it changed Peter into a man of God. You have the same faith. Exact same faith. If Peter were here, you don't need him to lay hands on you because you already have what he has. You have it. The same faith that changed Saul into the Apostle Paul who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. The exact same faith. And look at all the things that he did. The same faith that changed Jacob into Israel. You have that. You have the same faith as Jesus Christ. Doesn't get any better than that. The Apostle Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 2:20, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The same faith as Jesus had when he walked on the face of the earth. You already have it in you. You have that, according to the Word of God. And Peter is emphasizing that. The same faith that Noah had to build an ark when it had never rained on the earth. The same faith that Abraham had to leave his country and leave his relatives and going to a place he wasn't sure where it was. The same faith that David had to be able to face a giant that was five times the size that he was. The same faith, you see, that Daniel had to be able to go into the lion's den and say, you know, it doesn't really matter. I've given my life to the Lord. The same faith that Christians have, Peter and Paul and even Jesus, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Who has that? Every believer. So say it with me as a declaration of your faith right now. If you're born again, say this. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You have the same faith. It's not inadequate. Your faith is perfect. It's flawless. It comes from God. He doesn't give out junk. Now, everybody has a different story about how they came to faith. And that's the beauty of it. And if we had the attention span, it would be wonderful to hear everybody's story. How did you first come to faith? How did God arrange things in your life where he brought you into a place where to receive the gift of faith from him? Every story of faith has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. Everybody's faith has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. The Apostle Peter, Simon Peter writes this. Do you remember his story about how he began in faith? Oh, I bet he told it many, 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 many times over and over again. And I'll bet he love to tell the story. When someone said, how did you begin with Jesus? Well, let me tell you how I began. It began as a normal day. And for us fishermen, I was in the fishing business with my brother Andrew, and we had two other brothers in the same business with us. That was James and John. They were brothers. Well, we began our day in the evening. And so in the evening, we'd go out as fishermen, take the boats out in the nets, and we'd set our nets. And we would go out and fish at nighttime. And one night we fished all night long. We didn't get a thing, nothing. And so daylight's breaking and we come to shore, and as our custom on this day, we get our nets and we're out in the water about knee deep, and we're cleaning our nets out, you know, and getting ready to put things away. And what we would do is, after we got our boat cleaned up and nets put away, we'd go back home and we'd sleep because we'd been up all night long. Well, this particular morning, we were out here cleaning our nets, and I'll never forget it. I looked up, I heard some voices, and coming down this hill to the sea was this man, and there was a bunch of people behind him and a lot of voices, and they were coming toward us. And we didn't know him at that time, but his name is Jesus. And then he came up to me and he said, do you mind if I step up on the bow of your boat here so I can address this crowd? And I said, go ahead. And we didn't know if he's a snake oil salesman or a preacher or what, but he stepped up there on the bow of the boat and he began to speak. And we were down here and we were acting like we weren't really interested, but I was listening. And we kept on cleaning our nets, you know, and we listened to him. And he started saying some things. He says, I'll never forget, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. And he began to preach and expound. I never heard anything like that in my life. I'd heard preachers before. But when this man spoke, there was something about him. He had an air of confidence about him. It's like he knew what he was talking about. And I don't know, just something lit up on the inside of me when I heard him speak. And I was listening. And he preached and he preached. And then he dismissed the crowds and people lingered. And he talked to them and he prayed with some. And he healed some people. And then finally the crowds are going away and we're there. And I'm thinking, wow. While he was preaching, there was a moment that I wanted to just shout. I don't know where this came from. I just wanted to shout out, listen to him. He's telling you the truth. But I just didn't have enough courage to speak it out. Oh, I wished I had of. And after everybody left, he comes up to me and he says, I guess he looked in our boat and see we didn't catch any fish. And he says, go take your boat and launch it out into the deep. And at my word, when I tell you, let your nets down and you'll catch the greatest catch of your life. And I said, Master, you don't understand. We've already been out here all night long and we didn't catch anything. And then I heard the strangest thing come out of my mouth. In fact, the moment I said it, James and John and Andrew looked at me like I was crazy. I could see it out of the corner of my eye. But I said this before I even thought. I said, but nevertheless, that's your word, I'll do it. I thought, what did I just say? And next thing you know, I mean, I could tell Andrew wasn't happy about it, and James and John wasn't excited about it, but we loaded up our nets. I said, come on, boys, come on. And we got our nets back in the boat, and we pushed off the shore, and we went out about 100 yards, and I remember Jesus saying, now, let your nets down. So we did the process of letting the nets down and rowing a little bit here, and we let them down on the ground and so forth like that. And there's two boats of us out there, you know. And with the, I mean, no sooner than those nets got down on the bottom, and we're holding it, we're still letting some, we felt a tug. And I thought, well, maybe we caught on some rocks or something at first. And then some more, and some more. And we started pulling in the nets, and we had to holler for James and John, hey, come over here and help us. And we had a ton of fish, almost to the point it was almost breaking the nets. And we're pulling in these fish, large fish, into the boat. I can't believe it. This is a miracle. And James and John said, we can't help you. We got a mess of fish over here. And they kept pulling theirs in. And it was a sight to behold. And as soon as we got all the fish in the boat, we started going to the shore. I knew this was supernatural. This had never happened before. This man was different. And I remember getting out of my boat and coming to him, and my heart started jumping inside. And I just went down before him. I said, Lord, you got to depart from me because I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful man. I don't want to touch a holy man and contaminate you, Lord. And I'll never forget what he did. He looked at me with such love, and there was a little glimmer in his eye, and he said, fear not. From now on, you're not going to catch fish, you're going to catch men. Whew. I'm telling you, I had something leap inside my heart. I knew that what he was saying was about my life. My life was changing, and I knew that something was changing in my life, and I couldn't understand it all. But fear not, from now on, you're going to catch men. And I knew he was talking about my life, and not only me, but the other men with him. Now that was Peter. He probably told that story 100 times in his lifetime. He loved telling it over and over again because that was his starting point. You see, wherever your starting point of faith is, you love to tell that story. And you need to revisit that story of where God gave you faith that day to say, yes, Lord. We know that was a life-changing moment for not only Peter, but Andrew and James and John, because the scripture says that after that, it says, they forsook all, the next verse, they forsook all and they followed him. Oh, that's what faith does. Faith will mess you up. I mean, you got your plans to do this and you got your plans to do that. But when you meet Jesus and he gives you the gift of faith, I mean, things change in your life. Your values change. Your priorities change. Your direction changes. Now, they had a lot of change to do. They weren't even born again yet. You got to realize they weren't even born again yet. But faith was imparted to them, and they believed that Jesus was truth speaking into their lives. And at this moment of faith, your life changes, you see. And this is what he's trying to get across to everybody. He's saying, look, you have the same life-changing faith in you that I have in me. It changed me, and if you have the same faith, it's going to change you. Faith does change you. You're never the same. They forsook all. And we talk about faith again. Faith is confidence. Faith is trust that something is true. And since faith is a gift from God, it has a starting point. God somehow ordains your life to bring you to the place where you start believing him. And you start following him. And this is what happens. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. What happened, Peter? How did you begin in faith? Well, according to this scripture, well, I heard Jesus say, he said, go out and launch your boat out into the deep, and at my word, drop your net. And that's exactly what I did. When Jesus said, nevertheless, at thy, we said to Jesus, nevertheless, at your word, Lord, we'll let the nets down. And when we obey one word from God, it's life-changing, like the moment you got saved. Your story needs to be told. You ought to write down your story for your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and those who will come on long after. You ought to write down your story. How you came to faith in God. What's your story? It's worth telling. It's worth writing down. And when you obeyed that one word of faith, your life began to change. Now, something we have to understand, the more direct God is with you, the more precise God is with you, the greater the judgment that comes with that, you see. So, like, for example, if you don't obey a direct, unmistakable word from God, there's greater judgment. That's why God in His mercy is so vague with us most of the time, because He knows we're learning how to follow Him. We're learning how to believe Him. Some people say, I want to hear the audible voice of God talk to me. Well, you be careful about that, because that means greater judgment. Greater judgment. It's more precise. It's more direct. It's unmistakable. So there's a greater judgment. And God in His tender mercy doesn't do that most of the time for most of us. Hallelujah. Even though we think we want it, we don't know what we're asking for. Moses in the Old Testament was given a direct word from God. He heard God like face to face, and God told him one day out in the wilderness with the children of Israel where they were crying out for water. He says, now here's what you do. He gave him specifics. You go over here and there's this rock and you speak to this rock and water will come out of that rock and it will satisfy the thirst of all the millions of people here. And Moses was in his flesh. He got frustrated with the people he's working with and the people complaining and pulling and tugging on him and all that. And he got fed up with him and he took his rod. Instead of speaking, he said, well, here you are, you rebels. And he hit the rock, whap. And water still came out. And everybody was happy because they had the miracle of water. And God afterwards said, come here, son, we'll talk to you. What did I tell you to do? I told you to speak to the rock. I didn't say strike it. You say, well, God, isn't that kind of harsh? I mean, the same thing happened. You still honored it and you still, I mean, no. Because it was more precise, there's a greater judgment. And as you know, Moses did not get to enter the promised land in the flesh. Later on, he did after the transfiguration of Jesus. We see that. But in the flesh, he didn't get to enter, and that was his judgment. He didn't obey the direct word of God. Are you with me? Be careful what you ask for. When we're asking God to be so specific and leading that we can't make a mistake, we have to understand there's greater judgment with that. Greater judgment. And that's why most of us get a little bit of guidance here, a little bit of guidance there, because God in His mercy is teaching us how to obey Him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And it's a walk of faith. And He knows what your next step needs to be. He knows how to get you to the place where you walk by faith. See, every believer is given a measure of faith. Hallelujah. Romans 12:3. Every believer has been given a measure of faith. Say that with me. Every believer has been given a measure of faith. You just quoted Romans 12:3. So for example, in Luke 17, when the disciples later on, they've been following the Lord for a while, they hear Him praying and everything, and they come up to Him and they say, Lord, increase our faith. That sounds like a nice thing to pray. But Jesus didn't even answer that directly. Because He knows they don't understand how faith is, see. Lord, increase our faith. And instead He turns right around and He says, if you had the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you'd say to this tree, be uprooted, and it would obey you. In other words, you don't need more faith. You have been given the right amount of faith, the right quality of faith, the perfect faith you have been given from God, sufficient for your calling. Use what you have. And that's what Peter's saying to the saints before he departs. He said, you've been given the like precious faith. You've been given the same kind of faith as us. What we did, you can do. You don't need more. You need to use what you have. And then Jesus went on right after that in Luke 17, and he began to teach about faith. And he said, he taught them how faith is a servant. Faith is your servant. God gives you the gift of faith. You don't work it up. And faith is given to serve you so you can fulfill the calling of God upon your life and do the things that God's called you to do. Amen. Faith is your servant. Read Luke 17. And it is given to you so you can fulfill the calling upon your life. Just like this, your body is your servant. God gave you the body that you have. Don't complain about it. Don't say, oh, I wish I had a different body. That's an insult to God. God gave you the body that you have. Now, take care of your body. Don't abuse it and take good care of it. But your body is given to you by God as a servant as long as you need it to fulfill what you need to do while you're here upon the earth. Are you with me? You know, and that includes even the DNA of your family. God, in his foreknowledge, knew all that. He knew how many days you're going to have on this earth, and he gave you the kind of body that you would need, the energy that you would need, the kind of body that you would need to fulfill your calling here upon the earth. Why don't you just thank God for your body right now? You might want to apologize to him, too, also for not taking good care of it. But just thank God for your body. It's given to you so you can fulfill your purpose. You couldn't do it without this body. It's your servant. It's not your master. It's your servant. And faith, in the same way, is a gift from God given to you so it can serve you and so you can fulfill the calling and the purpose that God gave you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, the scripture says this, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything. Everybody say everything. God's given you everything you need pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Everything you have need of has been given to you through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Everything you have need of to fulfill the call upon your life. If God wants you to walk on water, you have the faith to walk on water. If God wants you to kill a giant, you have the faith to kill a giant. If God wants you to do anything at all whatsoever, he gives you the faith and you already have everything that you have need of. By my God, we can run through a troop or we can leap over a wall. Whatever comes your way, God's ordained. Whatever mountain you have to face, whatever giant you have to face, God has already equipped you and given you the faith that is necessary to overcome that thing, to conquer that thing, and to walk over that thing. Hallelujah. Faith. You don't know what you have. That's what Peter's trying to get across. You've got this same faith that we have. Now, faith is not a seed, but faith is like a seed. Like in an orange seed. In an orange seed. In a tiny orange seed, there's bark, there's branches, there's leaves, there's sap, there's more oranges in a seed. Everything that orange tree needs to be what it's called to be is in that seed. And the faith that God has given you as a gift has everything that you'll ever need to fulfill the calling that God has for your life in the days ahead. Now, when faith grows, it grows by you obeying the word. At thy word, Lord, we let down the nets, and they saw a great drought. Of fish. My great concern as a pastor of Grace Tabernacle and the body of Christ is this. Some of you are not able to handle the evil that you have to deal with now. What are you going to do in the days ahead when it gets speeds up? And God's already given you all the faith he's ever going to give you. He gave it to you. And it's able to do whatever you need to face, whatever you need to deal with in this life. And my great concern is that if you are not able to handle the evil now that's going on in your life, what are you going to do about in the days ahead? See, if you're only under the Word of God, it's the only time you hear the Word or read the Word is 2 days a week. If you are faithful to come Sunday, if you're faithful to come Wednesday, that's not enough. You won't make it. You won't make it. I believe you'll fall away. You've got to be under the Word and the true knowledge of Jesus, and you've got to be getting this Word in you and digesting it so where this Word becomes you. Are you with me? It becomes you. You eat the Word, you digest it, and you are what you eat. So when you eat the Word and you eat about forgiveness, you become forgiveness. When you eat the Word and you learn about love, you become love. And it should be true of us that when you have seen me, you've seen the Father. When you've seen me, you've seen love. When you've seen me, you've seen forgiveness. Now, I'm getting there, but that's the goal, you see, because you are what you eat. And you eat doubt, and you eat the world, you become the world. Are you with me? What you eat affects you. And so my great concern is that your faith would grow stronger in the Lord. You have enough faith. It's just the fact that you've got to make your faith grow strong and great so you believe the Word. And like the centurion who Jesus said had great faith, just speak your word and it's done, Lord. At your word, we let down our nets and you'll see the drought. You see, are you with me? This is where we're going. Faith has a beginning, but faith has a middle. And faith will flourish or flounder with what you add to it. Take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And there in 2 Peter chapter 5, he says that you have to add diligently, add to your faith. In other words, add these qualities, add these virtues to your faith. You have to add moral excellence to your faith. You have to add knowledge to your faith. You have to add self-control to your faith. You have to add perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. For if these qualities, verse 8, are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted. In other words, they're not going to be able to overcome what's coming their way. Faith must be added to in order to reach the end result. Faith has a beginning, faith has a middle, and faith has an end. God has something in mind by giving you this faith in you. When he did, knowing that you have a certain amount of days left on this calendar, a certain amount of days on this earth, God has in mind for you an end. He has something he wants to accomplish with this faith. What is the end of faith? What's the finished product? Your faith begins by learning to trust the Lord. And you see, he's trustworthy. He comes true for you. He answers prayer. His word is true. When he tells you to do something, he comes through. He's faithful. And so your faith begins to flourish. Your faith begins to grow as you obey. And then you begin to add these things that Peter says you must add these things to your faith, in your faith walk. And but it's leading you to an ultimate place. Where is it leading you? Back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, he starts off with this. Say it out loud with me. Simon Peter, a bondservant. Stop. A bondservant. When Peter began that day on the Sea of Galilee and he obeyed the word of the Lord and he saw the miracle of fish come in, he wasn't a bondservant. In fact, later on, he'd deny the Lord. He denied he even knew him. Peter and Jesus told him he would. But it was a walk of faith. He started walking by faith. Faith has a beginning point. It has a middle. And then it has an end. And here we are at the end of Peter's life. And Peter voluntarily says, he identifies himself, I'm a bondservant. I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. It was common in those days to have slaves or servants. One could become a servant to pay off a debt. Once the debt was paid off, you were released from being a servant. But a bondservant, oh, that's a different kind. A bondservant was one that once he paid off his debt, he decided to remain a servant to the master. You say, why in the world would anybody do something like that? Well, not every servant was treated bad. Remember, Abraham had a servant, Eliezer, who was like a son to him. And because the servant loved the master and loved the care and the protection and the provision of the master, they willingly said, I want to serve you for life. And so to become a bondservant was something you would willingly do. And there was a whole ceremony that you would go through. The servant would go up to the house, the door of the house, and next to the doorpost, he'd place his earlobe, and they would punch an awl through that thing and leave a mark upon the man. And it was a whole big ceremony to where this man said, I'm here to serve you for life, for the rest of my life. I'm not here to make a life of my own. I'm here to serve you. I trust you for my provision. I trust you for my protection. You can do with me whatever you want to do. Faith has a beginning. It has a middle. And it has an end. And you're getting a little glimpse today of where God wants your faith to take you. He wants you to get to that point in your life where you trust him so much. Maybe at the beginning today, maybe you're not quite there. Maybe you're near the beginning, or maybe you're in the middle. But ultimately, God wants you to get to the place in your life where you trust him with everything. Everything. You'll lay down your life for him if he calls you to. You'll be a martyr if he called you to do it. See, I don't know that it really would take a lot. I haven't done that, but I don't know that it would take a lot to give your life. If someone was to come in here today and with a gun and say, now you either, you forsake Jesus Christ, you deny Jesus Christ, or we're going to kill you. You know, I don't think I would deny him. And many of you, I think you have the faith. Many of you would say, I'm not going to do that. No, you can take my life. I'm not going to. And I don't know that it would be that difficult. It's more difficult to live for him. Anybody can die, but not many people will live for him. This is what our faith has taken us to this place. It's taken us to the place where living for him is not just coming to church on Sunday, not just Wednesday, not just being a nice guy. Living for him is, I'm a bond servant. I'm a bond servant to the one who knows the end from the beginning. You know, that's how God describes himself. Over in Isaiah, I just saw this morning. I thought it was so good. Isaiah 46, rather. God says, I am God and there's no one like me. And when your faith comes into the reality of who your faith is, who is any greater? Who is any higher than the Lord? I mean, you could give your life for a good cause. You could give your life for an organization. You could give your life for a lot of things. But what greater one to give your life to than the Lord? There's no one like him, he says. And he says, I declare the end from the beginning. God already knows what your end's going to look like. He knows your final day here on earth. He knows how you're going to die. He knows what the end of your life's going to be and all that. When he says he declares the end from the beginning, no one can do that. No one but God. And that word end is an interesting word in the Hebrew. It's the idea of a man sitting down in a rowboat. And he's in a rowboat. And they got the oars here. And he's rowing this way. And as he rows, he's backing into his future. He's going into his future. I don't see what's going to happen tomorrow, but I don't worry about that because I keep my eyes on him. And he's already declared the end from the beginning. And I'm backing into my future as I row, and I'm with him, and I just keep my focus on him. I don't know how long I have to live. It really doesn't matter. I've already said I'm a bond servant. I don't have to know what's going to happen there. I'm a bond servant. Are you with me? Yeah. So I don't worry about a lot of things. I don't worry about provision. The provision will be there when we get there. When we have need of it, it will be there. The healing will be there when we need it, you see. All those things, it'll happen because I don't worry about that anymore. I'm not like this and trying to row. No, I'm focused on you, Lord. And you say row, I row. And I back right into my future because of the one who knows the end from the beginning. Bondservant. Now, you may not be there today. I think I have said that myself, and that's not to pat me on the back. I believe I've said this many times to God, but God knows through the testing of our faith whether we're really going to be a bondservant or not. It's easy to say the words. You have to pass the test when they come too, where you say, well, Lord, that's not my concern anymore. That's yours. I'm just your servant. I'm your bondservant. And Peter wasn't the only one who called himself a bondservant. The Bible says some of the other disciples said the same thing, and you can read it in your Bible. James, chapter 1, verse 1. James, the bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul and Timothy and Jude all called themselves bondservants of Jesus Christ, meaning my life is not my own anymore. Everything I have belongs to you. And the deeper you walk with God, the more change you'll experience, and you'll come to this place where at the end of your life you can rest and you can go, I don't worry about my future. I don't worry about what's ahead that I can't see. I'm a bondservant. I finally laid it all down, and I'm a bondservant, and I take your mark, Lord. That's the place your faith has taken you. Don't resist it. It's a beautiful thing when you can get to that place where you have laid yourself down. And there will be many tests, and we find out whether we've really done that or not. But we surrender our lives. As I said earlier, it's easier to give your life to die for Jesus, be a martyr, I would think. It's harder to give your life to live for Jesus as a living sacrifice, because when you are a living sacrifice, there's a part of you that has to die daily. You have to die to what you want. I was telling my wife yesterday, we were driving. I said, you know what my biggest problem is? My biggest problem is not the devil. My biggest problem is me. I've got to learn to die to self. Self. Self's got to die daily. That's harder to do than it is to lay down physically. So dying daily. That's what he's called us to. And so Peter is saying this to the saints in his last message. And he's saying, if I could tell you anything about how to live this life, this is how you live this life. Surrender it all. And the sooner, the better. Become a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then God will test you. But come to the place where you lay it all down before him. Would you stand to your feet and bow your head, and altar workers, if you'll come forward, musicians, come forward. This is the place. To those who have obtained the same like precious faith with us, you have it. What are you going to do with it? Oh God, I pray that today, whether we're starting in faith, whether we're in the middle of our faith walk with you, or we're near the end, that, Lord, we'll be in a place of surrender and yieldedness to you now. So, God, I pray the word has gone out, and how it applies in each and every faith story here, I do not know, but you know. Put the word in the right place at the right time. You know the end from the beginning. And, Father, I ask that you would minister life to your people now. Now, while your head's bowed and eyes are closed, let me ask you this. First of all, have you started with faith? God's given you the faith to say yes to Jesus. Yes, Jesus is my Lord. Yes to Jesus as my Savior. Have you done that? If you haven't, that's where you begin, and you begin today. Today's your day, March the 2nd, 2014. If there's anybody here who'd like to say, I'd like to begin my faith journey right now with Jesus. I sense God is giving me faith, and he is. to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what you do. The Bible says, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And something in your heart wants to leap out, wants to shout. Well, let it out. Just say with your mouth right now, Jesus is Lord. Say it, everybody. Jesus is Lord. That means I surrender my life in his hands. He has a right to do whatever he wants to do. He's the owner. He's the manager. He owns everything about me. If you just said that with your mouth, didn't even pray it, you said it with your mouth, but you believe in your heart Jesus is Lord, you begin your faith journey. If you've never made a public profession of faith, I'd encourage you to come down front right now and stand here with me and say, Pastor, I just said that and I believe. God put it in my heart to believe, and I receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And others of you, maybe you've already begun, but you're in the middle or you're near the end. Come to the place where you're adding on to your faith, the things that God's leading you to, or you're becoming a bondservant. And a bondservant's when you lay it all down. Lay it all down again and again and again. And if that's what you need to do, come to the altar. Come to the prayer workers here, the altar workers. Let them agree with you in faith. I'm becoming a bondservant. You need to have witnesses when you do that. I'm becoming a bondservant. There ought to be at least two witnesses that come with you. And you say, pray with me in agreement with me. I am making myself a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ this day. And mark it down. Get these prayer workers to agree with you. Others of you, you've already done that. Praise God. And then you receive communion. Do whatever God's leading you to do. So, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for what you're doing. You've given faith. It's in the atmosphere. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Begin to move. Begin to move around this auditorium. Come to the altar and talk to God about something you've just heard. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.